There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is eating the big mushroom. And joining me, as always, is our resident plumber, Lee. I don't know.
There's so many terrible things there, and it's just good that I'm not the one saying things that have unintentional other meanings. But hi! Well, you know what? As you're talking about the mushrooms, I got to play Mario Brothers, this retro Mario Brothers this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
I did.
When you say retro,
it was great.
What do you mean?
I mean the one that I couldn't play when I was a kid in the 90s, and now it's back, and now it's considered retro. And I was at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, SFGE, with dear friends of ours, Preston and Shannon, and why am I blanking on the last name? Because I'm an idiot. But we were really thrilled. It was great and had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. And yeah, so I got to do that. I got to play with it. And I still suck as much as I ever did on Mario, Pac-Man, any of them. I'm terrible.
Now, this is the NES version?
This was the NES, yeah. The one with the little gray console, and you had the big cartridges. Seemed to be big cartridges at that point, yeah. Yeah, those are really back. I don't know. This is an 80s, 90s nostalgia thing that really can stop. I mean, as soon as somebody says Milli Vanilli is a good band, I'm going to be really upset. So, yeah.
Impression is that Milli Vanilli was a band to begin with.
That is true.
Girl, you know
you know what? Girl, you know it's true. We got some guests, John, who just can't wait and also help us to get there because it'll be a terrible segue. We have Kevin, whose voice you just heard, who is the video gaming track. And then we also have Phil, who is the board game track. Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm done. I'm gonna go on and go. We're done with the podcast. Let's go. I don't need
This is a really short podcast.
Oh, don't even. You just. God.
Phil, did you have to stoop so low so quickly?
Still tall enough to punch you in the boop boop.
And also joining.
I had that fixed.
Beep boop. Yeah, that's
Have it fixed so it isn't called beep boop anymore?
Yeah, well, John, I was trying to
beep boop.
Oh, I see.
Just rise. My bad.
I think all y'all got little beep boops.
Hey, you were talking about big mushrooms earlier. I'm just saying.
That was John, not me. I was not talking about anything.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, God. Okay, John, we need to put this one first. This will not be the friendliest of friendly podcasts, even though you would think this one would be.
What?
But no, these two are terrible. Yeah, and also, John, we didn't say it, but a lot of the people who have been added recently were comic book artists, and I'm not going to list them all because I will screw it up, and a lot of bands.
Yes.
So if you were interested in who got added since the last time you listened to us, I see the announcement on 7/12/2019. They're pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, Crew Shadows is here? Wait,
Shadows are going to be Dragon Con?
Yeah, the blibbering humdiggers. Although they do have a couple people I haven't seen before. Where was the one I just saw? And it's actually a pop punk rock group. And I don't know who they are, but I can't wait.
Yeah, I heard Denise Nickerson canceled. I heard Denise Nickerson canceled.
Who is Denise? I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Somebody will get it. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Whatever. Thanks. If somebody gets an inside joke, that's good. All right. But guys, how are you? You ready? You ready to do this next whatever days? Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's been said before. Whether yeah. you're ready or not, DragonCon's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Just batting down the hatches. Yeah. So, but you guys have been doing this for a pretty long time. Phil, how long have you been a track director or doing gaming?
I've been with gaming since the con began.
Oh, wow.
I started out as the second in RPGs.
Okay.
And I did that for a while, and then I saw an opportunity, and I pushed somebody out of the way. And
which is the exact opposite of what usually happens with a director. It's usually
That's
someone
exactly right.
someone gets out of your way.
Nah, that's more inside baseball, but you are not correct, sir.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey, have you ever seen Game of Thrones? They ain't got nothing on Dragon God.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hey, we've even had to do things like a red wedding, but it was called Guar, and there was, you know, plastic on the floor.
And there was no writing involved. It was just red.
It was just red. So yeah, I've been doing this for a while. I was at the first one down at the what used to be called the Piermont Plaza Hotel. It's the Crown Plaza down there by the Varsity.
Oh God, I remember that one. Yes,
and it was horrible because it was so funny because Pat likes to tell the story that we were like literally pulling people off the street to come to the show.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
I mean, there were less than 1,000. I would say paid attendees. There were less than 1,000.
Wow. And then now we're this behemoth. This is awesome.
Right. I mean, there are tracks that have 1,000 people show up just for them.
Well, there are. And what?
I mean,
and you are one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. And now we'll go over to Kevin. How long have you been working with DragonCon, and then also with your track? Because your track has gone through a gajillion names, and I don't even try anymore.
Right. I've been a volunteer since 2004, 2005.
Okay.
I was actually doing video game panels for the gaming track back when it was just one track, and they spun us off into the MMORPG track back in 2008. So this was
back when those were popular.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back when those were popular. Good one. So yeah, we went from, and then in 2013 we went from MMORPGs to all video games because
Well, just. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just so many. There's just so many, and how do you do this? And Phil, you're a little different because of how you get it set up. But Kevin, how do you decide which ones you're even going to talk about? That there are so many.
Who are our guests?
Well, okay, is that it? Okay,
that's the easiest way.
Okay,
I know that certain guests, Mark Meer, for example, I just
right
get out of the hat. Mark Meer comes to the con every year because he does Dad's Garage here in Atlanta. He does a lot of other stuff in Atlanta. Since he's going to be here anyway, he's almost like the free space on a bingo board.
There you go. Awesome.
With him, awesome. I know I've got a Mass Effect panel.
Okay.
I know I've got a video game improv panel. I know I've got a Masterpiece Theater panel. Boom. Panels right
there. Masterpiece Theater.
And so when we get voice actors, I look at the franchises they represent. I have friends at Blizzard who come out, so I know World of Warcraft is going to get covered. And just as the guests come trickling in, we have a lot of attending pros and professionals and other tracks who say, by the way, I'm a science guest, but I also like video games and I'd love to talk about blah, blah, blah.
And you're like, yes, please come Done. Chat with us. Yes.
I think it's interesting what you're saying about the guests from other tracks. There are very few guests that we have come here to Dragon Con that don't know something about video games. It's just the nature of the beast, being a geek.
Yes.
And these guys, I mean, some of the people who, you know, because Kevin and I talk all the time, and it's like, it's amazing some of the people that you would not really think would be that into video games, but they want to do something with Kevin's track because, hey, I know video games. I play video games all the time, you know.
Well, and that is true. And I mean, I think that's what's also amazing about so many of our guests, too, is that we use them across a lot of panels. Once a geek, always a geek.
Yeah.
There's in a lot of ways, whether it's game. I mean, you know, I like board gaming. I'm not a big video gaming person, but I like board gaming. And yet there are all these other things. And, you know, it's just amazing when you start thinking about it. That's always why, John, as you say, if you're coming to Dragon Con for one thing, what are you doing wrong, John?
Coming to Dragon Con.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't come for one thing. That's ridiculous.
My favorite guest, I've got to give a shout out here because Eric Spana is just brilliant. but he's a professor at Duke who does genetics, and which for the science track, that's great. But genetics as an overall subject is not the most thrilling thing in the world. And one year he came up with the genetics of Harry Potter and how the wizarding gene could be passed down. Well, young adult lit snapped him up in a heartbeat.
Well, heck yeah.
And then he comes to me one year and says, hey, I'd like to do something on alien biology, you know, in the Mass Effect franchise. Done.
Would you like to talk to Paranormal Track about what, you know, could what alien physiology could be in our current year, well, our current world?
Oh, I'm sure he would. But here was the hook. He says, I've got a great title for the panel. It's Alien Physiology in Mass Effect or Why Lizards Don't Have Boobs.
Please send me his. I love that title. That's the best title. But please also just kind of introduce me on email to him. I want to see if he wants to do anything.
Oh,
that's a great title. I would love to.
Well, yeah, the thing is, he started telling the other science guests, and so Lucas Hernandez and Aaron McDonald and basically all of Stephen Grenade's guests, including Stephen, have volunteered to do panels for me now, talking about, hey, I've got a science topic that links up with video games, like Pokemon genetics, and you know, we've covered like hundreds of different games that talks to me of bad science in video games and why you don't bounce off asteroids, that you kind
should,
of thing.
Then you should never hook up with Derek from Skeptics Track. Oh my God. That is a scary crossover. I mean, I'm pretty sure if Derek's guest and Lee's guest walked into the same room, it'd be like antimatter and matter in the same.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore.
What is the one year that you had Skeptics
Track rooms?
No, we actually did about for 3 to 5 years in a row. We did a skeptics versus believers panel, and it was good and it wasn't good. And so we just said, you know, that's run its course.
Because some people don't take it in a good fun it was meant to be. And they're really invested in their beliefs.
Did the skeptics get all their water from a well, actually?
I'm not doing this. I'm going to be good. So help me. I am a podcast co-host and I'm going to be good. Yeah, no, actually.
I'm not doing what I want.
I did a well actually recently because somebody said something and I said, and I just can't, and I said, well, actually, and went into it. And at the bottom, I went, I'm sorry, I just could not help myself.
But were you right?
Oh, yes.
Well, she's always right. Don't you know that, Phil?
And first of all, Phil, John's right. John is correct on that point. But yeah. So now, all right, let's get back to the tracking and all of this. Because see, folks, we all know each other. And unfortunately, I introduced John to him. And this will go really weird. Phil, tell us, like, when is board gaming gonna open? Dragon Con is a Thursday con, man. When are you gonna open?
Well, to help Phil avoid that question for a little bit, what exactly is your track?
All right, board gaming. Basically, we are the guys who provide, we have a lot of space where people play a lot of board games that they may or may not have heard of before. There's a lot of classic games that we have. We also have a lot of specialty board games. We also run board game demos. We encourage people who are Kickstarter, who are trying to, you know, get a game promoted on Kickstarter. We provide them with space to get a good active playtest amongst a really diverse crowd.
By the way, speaking of which, Phil, I got one for you that I met at SFGE yesterday. So
you know what to do.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, SFGE was. I did see Kevin there, and it was a great con. That was a lot of fun. That's always
actually,
a fun con.
A couple of years ago, picked up a lot of new demo guests. Mm-hmm. I just haven't had. I had to work today, so I wasn't able to go. I had to work this weekend, so I just wasn't able to go.
Yeah.
But I always pick up. At least a couple of people. Dave Lupo, he's always there. He's always got something interesting to show.
Mm-hmm. And he was there this year too. Yeah. So
of course he was.
Of course he was.
So, but you know, had to do this today.
It is, yeah. They can't do it now. So, okay. So then, John, your turn. He's told us what it is. Now, so how do you, got all these board games. How do people play them? Do they have to bring their own copy?
You can. There's space for that. But the really unique thing, the really cool thing about the board game area, for $10, you get a board game membership. What that allows you to do is check out any board game that we have in our library. And we have over 400 games in the library. I'm working on getting some more for this year. So I'm just going to put it at over 400. And you can check out a game, sit at a table, play that game, get some people to join you. It's a good way to learn games. It's a good way to teach games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to play a game that you may not want to spend $300 for.
It's a good way to practice. You're like, well, I kind of like games like this. Let's see if I like this one. Because exactly. There are...
We also run some tournaments.
We're still
narrowing it down. I'm like 90% locked down on what we're going to do. Of course, we're going to do a Settlers of Catan tournament, trying to figure out if we're going to be able to send anybody to Gen Con next year. Still working that out.
So you still got wood for sheep, right? Bang, got him.
Always. So yeah, as Settlers of Catan, we're looking at maybe possibly King of Tokyo, King of New York. We might even have a Crokinole tournament, which is a dexterity-based game. Some people know it is like table pool.
Did you have
that last year?
It wasn't a tournament. We had a guy who builds custom Crokinole tables, and he comes and he is introducing people to the game. And you know, we don't allow selling on the board game floor on the game floor, but he has made some contacts, and according to him, he sold quite a few tables on people who've played games at the show and contacted him after the show. He makes custom tables, and his tables are gorgeous.
Oh, are those ones where he has like the drawers are already in and things like that? You can pull them out, so you have your dice already there.
These are specifically for Crokinole.
It's like a
shuffle puck kind of.
Yeah.
Different. Okay, gotcha. Thing.
And he makes custom tables. He'll take whatever art you have, and he can, you know, get it onto the board. He makes the custom boards. They're gorgeous. They have custom boards, custom pieces. So they're really good to look at, and it's something I'm trying to get the staff together to be able to run a tournament. That's always a problem getting, you know, when we talk about running tournaments, getting people who have the skill to actually run these tournaments. So, you know, that's just something I'm working on right now. I got a couple of days till Dragon Con. Literally a couple of days till Dragon Con.
Right. Yeah,
Never tell me the number.
Yeah, never tell me.
Right.
So I have a couple of days left till Dragon Con. So a lot of stuff is going to literally work itself out between now and literally the end of July.
Yeah, and that's cool. That is really neat. I love that idea. And so when, like, people... After they go to registration and they get their Dragon Con badge, they can come to you, give you the $10.
Yep. There's two places they can pay. They can pay over gaming registration, or they can pay at the actual board game area. We'll both have board game memberships. Another thing that board game memberships are also good for is it's good for the werewolf circles. We have Organized Werewolf.
Yeah.
That's going to be in the Westin. This will get you in those circles as well. It's just a way to make sure we can secure the space year after year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
werewolf on the floor, right?
We prefer not to. the main reason being is there's no room for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, that's
it. We have a lot of spaces, and every allotted space that we can, we have a table in it. And werewolf doesn't play around a table. On the 12th and the 14th floor of the Westin, which has its own private elevator access, they're going to be setting up werewolf circles up there all weekend long.
Just the 14th, 12th.
It's just 12th, the 14th.
Just the 14th floor. Okay.
They'll be a sign.
Yeah. We will have many, many signs. There's lots of signage coming. Don't worry.
We have a signage department.
Yes, we do, and we love her very, very much.
And she does an outstanding job.
Yes, really, she does.
You guys really need to get her on here one day, because she got stories she could tell.
I need to.
Mostly about you two.
None of them are true. Not a one of them are true.
None of them are true. I wasn't there. I never ever saw that werewolf circle, and I don't know what y'all talking about.
She has stories that are so interesting. Somebody wrote a song about it.
Oh, Jesus. Full disclosure for those of you listening, the signage director used to work for me as a volunteer. So, yeah, she got stories.
John, I'll contact her.
Yeah, I was going to say, get her on here right away.
I'm on it. I got to send my signage stuff anyway, so it's all good.
Just wait till the last minute. It'll be fine.
Oh, no.
You try to get them killed?
Actually, no, it's okay. I'm just going to tell her you said that. I'm sending it right now. But on the 50 Days of Podcast, he told everybody else, just wait till the last minute.
My signs are in.
Mine too. I'm covered.
I'll be covered as of tomorrow. So, yay. So now right. But again, sorry. Yes, John.
I was going to say, Phil, so you have all these board games, and that's one of the fun things that I love about this. So certainly they're stored someplace that Dragon Con has, like a whole vault that you know, is where they store all of their stuff at, right?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
No, you're not. That's why I laughed.
Try to keep it family friendly.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say. Yes,
we have a
super secret underground bunker that is in an undisclosed location.
You only thought Area 51 was secure.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you going to watch people rush Area 51? That ought to make some good footage.
Yeah. Oh, that is just a very bad idea.
Please have it to the Benny Hill soundtrack.
There is nothing good about that idea, but yeah. Okay.
Now the truth is, a lot of the games you store yourself, right?
Not anymore. Oh. Again, we have a super secret area.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Super secret area.
I was joking.
Talk about.
I was just so that is where they keep the aliens too. Then
you got interrogated. Phil.
No, that's not his. That's not his place. That's mine. Don't worry about it.
Holy.
Oh, so even in our fictitious conversation, the directors are doing ground turf wars.
Yeah,
no, it can't be aliens over there because those belong to me.
Those are mine. I don't know though fictitious? If they'll volunteer. I don't know if the aliens will volunteer to take like that 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. slot. I think it's
right.
That Phil will take.
All kidding aside, I have a group of wonderful volunteers that have been with me a number of years that are taking an overnight shift, and they hold it down. They basically secure the entire area overnight because we don't close the game room. We open it up on Thursday.
Oh, we haven't even said playing it.
Yeah, what time was that?
We opened up on Thursday at 6.
P.M. or A.M.?
Or I will kill both of you. No, P.M. 6 o'clock P.M. in the evening after work.
What? I'm sorry. Four P.M. P.M.?
Yes. That's up for debate, man.
6 p.m. All right.
So if you come at 6, you'll definitely get in. If you come at 4, you might get in.
And what time are you thinking people are going to start lining up to get in the game room?
Noon.
Tuesday.
Well, that's because it's Wednesday. You're a little more generous.
And you're actually the only track I know that really is 24/7. That you start and you don't stop until the last whistle goes on Monday. And you have to kick people out at that point.
Nah, I just take the games. I don't care what they do after I get all my games back.
I know. You get your games back, but then you're like, and we're packing these up, so go away.
Well, it's like Monday. We start packing up Monday at noon. Mm-hmm. So basically, we take the longest to play games we have, we start packing those up at noon. And it's pretty much by 2 o'clock, we are pretty much saying, you ain't got to go home.
But you can't stay here. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a process. We've gotten it down. I got my buddy Omar. He's back working as my second. So So the alcohol is probably safe now. But he's going to be backing me up doing this, and he is going to make sure that, you know, we get out of there because we have to get out of there. We have to have an area clear by like 4 p.m.
Oh, wow.
And if we don't start, because it's not a hotel. That's America's Mart.
That's right. It's America's
Mart. And America's Mart wants to start, you know, even though I don't think they're doing anything on there after us, they want to start getting everything ready for the exhibition.
For the next thing, yeah.
Yeah, right. which I believe loads in on Tuesday morning. So they want to make sure we're completely out of there. They're completely cleaned up.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing we have to do. So, we'll start packing up about noon on Monday, and we should be done by 2 to 3 o'clock.
Very cool, very cool. And so, then you also have something new this year in gaming.
Yeah, something we're going to try. Something that other people have asked us to do before, and we partnered with a group that's going to help us run this. It's called Plan Take or Play to Win. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, we, like I said, we have all the games out there for people to play. But we're also going to have games for people to play. And if you play them, we're going to, if you play the game, you're going to be entered into a drawing to win that game.
Ooh.
So we'll be doing drawings and postings on that all weekend long. With what, you know, who won, you know, who won what game. So again, details are still up in the air, but this is something that I am like 99% sure we're going to be able to get done, because we partnered with somebody who does this for this is a business. So we partner with somebody who does this, awesome. And hopefully, you know, we can, you know, get this done. And this will be something we can do every year, because it's a good way to promote the different games from different manufacturers. I'm sorry, somebody just scored. It's a good way to, you know, it's a good way for the game companies to promote their games. Because what better way to promote the game than letting somebody have a copy?
Yeah,
that's true. No, and that is true. A lot. I've been to some cons that are doing that, and it's great. And then, you know, hey, new game, and you like it. Yay!
Right.
Awesome. Cool.
And it's not like, you know, we've done get game giveaways before, but they're usually of games that, you know, people haven't played. But, you know, every game that we give away is going to be something that somebody has played.
Yep. So, Kevin, let me ask you. So we know that Phil opens at 2 a.m. on Wednesday. What time does your track open?
We're running our first events at 5:30 on Thursday.
Oh, okay. And what are those? What are those first events?
We're running a Geek Icebreaker with Dino Andrade. We used to call it the Geek Singles Mixer, and we realized that was a little too boy meets girl focused. And a lot of our feedback is, "What if we want to meet other?" And so many permutations these days. And it's like, well, you know, we need to be sensitive to that. And if you want to make friends or romantic connections or just people to party with all weekend or whatever, we just decided to, we're not going to put the dating expectations on it. This is just an activity you can do to meet people. And it's gone over really well the last couple of years. We get about 300-400 people in on an event on Thursday, which is shocking.
Phenomenal.
But we're doing that as well as Twitch Sings, which we're doing with the digital media track. We're basically people singing along with online songs, and just imagine what could go wrong there.
Oh, okay. Well, like, you put them up on a screen from Twitch.
Or we put the songs up, you pull stuff off the internet.
Uh-huh.
Could be Twitch, could be YouTube, could be whatever. And all right, sing along with Diggy Diggy Hole or Gangnam Style, or if anybody sings Rebecca Black's Friday song, I'll boot them out of the con myself.
Oh, that's
I am totally signing up for that.
I dare you.
It's how Phil gets out of this abyss he's in now.
Kevin, I have two words for you.
Happy birthday.
Birthday.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that one in a minute. And then 10 o'clock Thursday night, we're doing the 8-bit bash with arcade games and 80s music and some 70s thrown in for good measure. The DJP spinning again for us. Had about 4,000 people show up to that last year.
Whoa.
Quite the party. We're going to do it again.
That's at 10 o'clock on Thursday? Goodness.
10 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, 10 o'clock on Thursday. And which is a lot of fun.
You're actually a really great one. You're based in the Westin, is that right?
We are, yeah. As of right now.
The wild, wild Westin.
As of right now, because everything changes at DragonCon.
Yeah.
Well, it could. You never know.
You never know, but just assume, you never know. This moment, we are in the Westin.
Assume it has, and then check.
Right. It'll be on the it'll be in the app.
Consult the app
and consider the app final when the schedule comes out, because I'm not exaggerating when I tell you schedule deadline less than a day, and I have still got at least two quote unquote tentative panels because I'm waiting to hear on guests.
Mm. How many hours of programming do you end up doing?
Oh Jesus! Let me add it up. 56 events. Some of which multi-hours, probably close to about 70, 72 hours of programming.
That's a lot of programming.
And that's,
it's as if video games is like a multi-billion dollar industry or something.
Right? Bigger than Hollywood.
Yeah. It's big. Well, that's what I was saying, is how much there, And even with that, there's stuff you're leaving out. And not
a ton.
Not for want of, not for you don't like it, more of...
Don't have a place to put it.
There's this much space.
We've kicked at least 5 panels off of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, we have a choice. I have, spoilers, I have the guys from Bethesda showing up, or I can do a Final Fantasy trivia set. Pick one.
Right.
Yeah. Oof.
Well, I think it's awesome that you get to change up your programming every year, because I know that that's one of the big challenges of running a track,
yeah,
is keeping your programming fresh, because the last thing the powers that be want to see is the same panel you've run for the last 5 years at the same time in the same room.
Exactly.
Year after year after year.
And well, even the ones that I do, like Masterpiece Theater or Improv, have different people doing it. And it's
and
different,
they're different every time. So, I mean, it's improv. So what do you expect?
Right. Yeah, I mean, Masterpiece Theater, I could run 5 shows of that during con, and every one of them would be different.
Okay, let me ask you, what is Masterpiece Theater, since it's come up several times?
Yeah.
I know what it is on PBS, but what is it in video games?
We will take things like song lyrics, like 1 year Dino Andrade with the Beatles' Maxwell Silverhammer as the voice of the Scarecrow from Batman Arkham Asylum. Quentin Flynn was reading Edgar Allan Raven as William Shatner, Christopher Walken, and Sylvester Stallone.
So
we get all these voice actors that do all these different crazy voices, and they will read songs or literature clips or movie scenes. Like, I mean, imagine somebody doing the "You Can't Handle the Truth" scene from A Few Good Men as Goofy.
Of course,
you can't handle the truth.
That would be bad.
But these are pro voice actors, and they're really good at it, and they can switch on a dime. So it's kind of they'll do the Wheel of Destiny. It's like, okay, crowd, give me an idea for a voice. You know,
wow.
pull a sheet out of it, and it turns out to be, you know, heavy metal song lyrics, and they're doing it as Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls.
Other cons have stolen this idea from you, because it was a few years ago, there was somebody, they had the guy who does Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
He was reading some death metal lyrics.
Yeah.
As Winnie the Pooh?
Yes.
Oh, that's wrong.
Well, it was actually Dino Andrade's idea, so I'm not surprised, because...
Yeah.
He also does the improv. He's taken the improv shows to a couple of shows out on the West Coast because of some of the shenanigans we've done here at Dragon Con in the past.
No, you have to realize that all these guys that get in front of the camera, get in front of the microphone, are hams. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
And if you point a camera in their face or you put a microphone in their face, they're going to perform.
And we do improv at like 11 at night on 500 people in. And, you know, the energy that comes out of those guys is. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do that every year, but it'll be new cast of characters every year.
Is there a video game this year that is kind of a breakout one or something that you're like, I have to hit this one? Or is it just all of them?
Tough call. I say that because there were a lot of games kind of bucking for that title.
Mm.
And they fell short.
Whoops.
Like, oh, Anthem's going to be all that.
Well, I'm done with that.
76.
That's worthy of a panel.
Oh, dude.
Fallout 76. What happened?
Yeah.
Didn't I just mention that Bethesda's coming? What happened was, I won that I'm... got to tell a story about it to set it up, but I'm really curious to see if there's still interest. Do any of you guys remember the game City of Heroes?
Yes.
I know of it, but again, I don't played play it for them, the but longest I even knew time. The name.
And a little while ago, I did revisit it as well.
Right. Yeah. So when they announced that game was closing, I was walking to the panel that I was fan panel at Dragon Con. An hour before the panel, I look at my phone and it says, NCSoft announces that City of Heroes is shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to walk into this room of 300 diehard City of Heroes fans and go, hey guys, guess what I just heard?
Mm.
Wow. Which,
that was fun.
And if I remember, they shut it down on really short notice.
Yeah, like a month's notice. It was
not
long. We had some banner City of Heroes sessions in the past. Well, long story short, about 2 months ago, some folks spun up a private server running City of Heroes and made it available to the general public. They brought the game back from the dead, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's available to play now. And NCSoft hasn't put the kibosh on it. The servers are still up and running, and people are still playing, and it's got 100,000 concurrent players, and it's, you know, doing well. So I'm like, well, let's revisit that game and see what kind of interest is still out there. Maybe we don't.
Also like to hear what other games they like to hear resurrected.
Yeah, because if this is the start of a lot larger movement, there are a lot of games out there. Earth and Beyond, Matrix Online. I'm just thinking of dead games off the Tabula Rasa. Dead games off the top of my head that somebody go,
Ultima Online?
Still alive.
Ultima Online's still alive?
Never going to die, not as long as Lords British is around.
What the still what?
Alive. Yep. It is the old man on the block, man. It
are you still kidding me? Okay, now I'm going to go. Now,
now John's got Jan, right, okay, John
so
is now
this has been another issue. Of
Anarchy Online is still out there, and it's been around.
Is EverQuest still running?
15 years. AEQ is still alive.
What?
There's rumors that somebody is got the code for Asheron's Call.
Yeah. There are a lot of games.
Is EVE Online still running? No, just kidding.
EVE Online is still running, yes.
The greatest spreadsheet that ever existed.
Sorry, I have to do this. Spreadsheets in space!
Lee has no idea what we're talking about.
Nope, not at all. Then I'm okay with that.
Weirdly, she probably would be really interested in that game.
Spreadsheets are kind of awesome. I love spreadsheets.
Didn't you love EVE Online?
Love
EVE. And I'd love EVE Online. That'd be cool.
I don't know. Managing your resources down to them.
Yes, I do, actually. Ooh, that does sound fun. Okay, anyway, so yeah. So you guys are just going to be going crazy this year. This is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm crazy awesome. Every year, Lee. Yeah,
well, that is true. And you are still, and Phil, I know he said it, but you are in America's Mart, and so the space is still what? Quadruple what you had before? People are thinking of the Hyatt.
Yeah, we shared a space with Gaming Reg, Board Gaming, Miniature Gaming, Card Gaming, Land Gaming, the Tokyo Pop Arcade, the Ooh. Joystick Bar Arcade, and what do they call it? E-tournaments?
Yeah.
So all of that's over in America's Mart.
Okay. But your space for board gaming is gajillions.
Yeah, it's we have as much space dedicated just to board gaming as it was the entirety of the Hilton.
That's pretty cool, guys.
I knew it was close, but I didn't know.
Wow,
yeah,
it's
like
huge.
It's like 5,000 square feet more.
And weirdly enough, it's still not enough space.
Well, that's a thing that we remind everybody else in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
When we want your tables, we'll take your tables because y'all close, we don't.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody else closes down, and the board game players is like, well, we need a place to play. Well, we'll just go over here where the card gamers were playing earlier today, and we'll play over there. It's insane. We had a couple of emergencies last year, and I ended up having to come downstairs at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh dear Lord!
And it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Still
at 3 a.m.
3 a.m. It was still packed. And
well, you told me one time that you have actually really kind of watched it, you and your staff, and there were certain people that as soon as you opened, they were in there. And other for bio breaks or food.
They didn't leave.
They didn't leave your room.
And it's like, you know, we charge $10. And it's like, these people know how to get their $10 worth.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they bought their Dragon Con passes the day after the show ended.
Right.
So they got those facts. And then they paid $10 for a board game pass. And they haven't left.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And what is also very interesting to me is because I've been watching the Dragon Con Facebook group and people are like, this is my first year. You'll see 5-10 of those right now a day. And I'm thinking all these new people who are coming, it's going to be amazing this year of how many people are there. And now they get to find you guys and go, oh, this is what they meant by all these tables.
I just like watch the new people show up and they are so overwhelmed because they've gone to their local Comic-Con, they've gone to their local 3-day con, wherever they're from. They may have even been to like a major like New York Comic Con or CC Squared?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It does not compare. We have people that are saying, oh, well, this is nothing. I've been to Gen Con every year for the last blah years. It's like, you won't get it.
That's nice.
Because
that's right. And that is a big con, but
Gen Con is an amazing show. Yep. They are bigger than us in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. But if the gaming area at Dragon Con was its own con, it would probably be in the top 10 largest cons in the United States.
That was just by itself, as
just the gaming side. So once you add, you know, all the tracks, once you add all the art
music,
the art show. Yeah,
the LARPing, the cosplay,
and then you look at it and you go, it's not in one building.
Nope.
It's over 5 hotels and a convention center.
And we're pretty awesome.
We're still looking for what places to expand, which is truly expi-. Look, we either it's a expand or perish.
Right?
Now does Dragon Con do the Disney thing where they try to sign under different contracts when they're looking for other hotels to or places to expand to?
We are not authorized to talk about that.
We are not in that level of anything. And no, I am sure they don't. Stop that. Don't be bad.
As far as I know, they don't.
No.
Because you got to realize DragonCon is a huge economic engine. I mean, literally, in the footprint area of DragonCon, we literally make a lot of these businesses year.
The hotels.
In 4 days.
We are Black Friday for most of the hotels. And if you don't know what Black Friday was, the reason it got that name is that was the date when you went from your store being in the red to your store being in the black.
Yeah.
Was that kind of holiday shopping. Dragon Con is that for a good many of the businesses in downtown and the hotel. Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize this, but you probably do. But there is a college football kickoff happening the same weekend as Dragon Con starts. There's also other colleges in Metro Atlanta who start their college football season the weekend Dragon Con opens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you think the hotels want to sell to? Do they want to sell one night to these football fans? Or five nights to Dragon Con?
At least five, yeah.
Oh, I mean, point blank, there was a story that Chick-fil-A went to the mayor's office. See if there's anything the mayor could do about moving Dragon Con quote off their weekend unquote, and the mayor's office told Chick-fil-A to pound sand.
This is a story. We don't know this is true, but
I said apocryphal. I did say apocryphal.
Apocryphal story. All right, but yeah, it's huge. You guys are and gaming. How many people love gaming? Everybody loves gaming. And Phil, let's just say, and Kevin too. You have there's family gaming that you'll be talking about, and then non-family, you know, more teenager and other. But yeah, you guys have like Candyland.
Yeah, we have. We do. We have. We also have the all of gaming has the kids gaming.
Yep.
The kids gaming pass. Bring your kids under the age of 12 over to the gaming area, gaming registration, and on I believe it's on Saturday and Sunday. You can sign them up for the kids gaming pass, and they'll be introduced to different games in different areas of gaming. There'll be board games. There'll be, I think there's a LARP specifically for kids. There's role playing specifically for kids. There's video games specifically for kids, collectible card games and miniatures games specifically geared to the under 12 set. and it's a good thing to do to bring the kids over. They can try out some non-electronic gaming, but we have to bait the trap with some video games.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But, you know, we have a lot of card games, board games, and, you know, my kids come up on Saturday and they help out with the kids gaming.
Oh, excellent.
It's always fun to watch other kids teaching other kids how to play games.
It's always fun, and it's also fun to see kids who are like, I didn't know there was all these different choices.
Yeah.
And that's
it's always fun to watch how overwhelmed they are with the amount of games that we have. Because most people, when they think of board games, they are still stuck on those board games that nobody wants to play with your family. Boggle. Yeah. Monopoly. Yeah.
No. I can't play Monopoly with my sister anymore.
if you play by the rules, it's a lot more. The game is a lot more fun. But
No. It's because she does play by the rules. But the problem is, she becomes so cutthroat, and it's awful.
You clearly have never read the rules because the game is very cutthroat. There's no friendliness in Monopoly.
It's evil. Yeah, I can't
because
believe
it's a game about capitalism. Of course, it's going to be cutthroat.
There you go. And okay, see, there's our fifth voice, which is William, and William comes in when it is time for us, the four of us, to play the. Oh, we're not going to know any of these. Lee's not going to know any of these answers game.
Yeah, so we're gonna move to our trivia game here in just a second. Okay. But real quick, Kevin, we mentioned that you are currently in the Westin. Whereabouts in the Westin is your track?
We're in the Augusta Ballroom on the 7th.
Woohoo! On the 7th floor, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
You cut out there briefly. Okay, cool. And, of course, Phil, we already know you are in the America's Mart, but how do people find you inside of the America's Mart? Because that is a massive...
Yeah, it is. It's 17 floors of goodness, but we're on the 2nd floor, along with gaming registration. The easiest way to get to us is to come into the Westin, take the Skybridge over, and we'll be right there as you come into the Westin.
Now, there's a question about that, though. At some points, doesn't that Skybridge close?
No.
Oh. I thought it did last year because of they made everyone go back through the front door downstairs.
No.
Different Skybridge.
That was different Skybridge. There is a physical Skybridge between building one, which is where we are,
mm-hmm.
and buildings two and three, which is where the dealer's halls are.
Yeah.
There is no access to the dealer's hall through gaming.
Okay.
None whatsoever. If you try to get to the dealer's hall, try to avoid the line to get in the dealer's hall by coming through gaming, you will be sorely disappointed and turned around and told to go back out and do it with everybody else.
Which is a wraparound of the building.
Yep. That's the entrance to the dealer's hall is going to be on Portman.
Yeah. Which is actually somewhere, it winds up being somewhere on Peachtree by the end of the, by the time you get to the end of the line to start lining up.
It's Peachtree and Portman is where is the corner where the America's Mart is, building one. Building two is where the dealer's hall is. You'll have to come past the building one to get to building two. No access through building one.
I gotcha. All right.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So go. the easiest way to get, if you're just going for gaming, which is what you should be doing.
Go to the Westin.
Go to the Westin.
And take the Skybridge across from the Westin.
Okay.
To America's Mart floor one. It'll take you right into gaming registration.
Yeah, and usually the way I always remember which one where it is that usually the Westin sets up a little grab and go station right next to where the entrance is to the America's Mart.
Yes.
Yeah. If you find that, then just keep going past it. And well, I mean, for folks at Westin, pick up something to eat there and then go past it. You're in the gaming area.
Yeah. And if you are asking where the gaming area is and you do see John during con, don't ask him.
Yeah,
ask
I won't know where
anyone
it is.
Else because he doesn't even know what hotel he's at.
I'll put you in the Westin that's down by the airport. That's where you'll wind
probably
up.
Would.
Yes.
We have people staying there.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, we need hotel rooms. Good luck.
Be nice.
Have fun with that.
I'm sure Tennessee has some rooms.
Mayor
available.
Should have just said, "Well, wait. Can't you just stay open on Sunday then?"
Ooh, John.
Okay, so we like to play some games with our guests when they come here. So this week or this episode, we've actually broken it down into four categories and five questions in each category. You will get to choose on your turn which category you want to read from, and where you want the question from. William, what are the categories?
The categories are retro video games, modern video games, variety, and sports. Everyone's favorite category.
So once a category is gone.
John, I'm sorry. Can you say those? Can William say those topics one more time?
Did you get
very
cut off?
Clearly for everyone to listen to.
Pay attention, Lee.
But keep it short for Lee.
Uh-huh. Still tall enough to beep, beep. All right, go, William.
All right. The categories are retro video games, modern video games, variety, and sports.
That's four categories.
Retro, modern video game, retro or modern video games, but there's two categories there.
Uh-huh.
A variety, which is really just pop culture, and sports. So we'll let Kevin or Phil, who wants to go first? Who wants to pick a category?
I'll go retro video games.
Okay, so Phil's going first. And then Kevin, then Lee, and then me.
Okay. What is the name of the evil alien antagonist in Earthbound?
Ooh.
And William hand picked these, by the way, out of our stack of.
And I randomized the order, so not really.
So this is a round one question.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Mother?
Incorrect. The answer I was looking for is Gigas? Something with G's.
Let me see. Hold on. Gigas. Gigas. G-I-G-A-S.
I think if you can't pronounce it, you can't count that
you
again.
Throw it out.
I like that rule.
G-I-Y-G-A-S, by the way.
Yeah.
Not that I knew that.
Did you actually know the answer?
Yes.
Of course you did. All right, Kevin, you get to pick a category next.
I'm gonna be contrarian and go with sports.
Oh, he's going sports. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to saddle Lee with all those questions.
What sport appears in the children's book Alice in Wonderland?
Oh God,
I know. Do I get to answer it if he doesn't get it?
You do not.
Tiddlywinks.
What'd you say, Kevin?
I said tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks. The sport of tiddlywinks. Yes, the
croquet.
Cutthroat sport of tiddlywinks.
Am I correct, William? Croquet.
Yes, you are.
Have you ever played competitive tiddlywinks?
No,
I have not.
They'll poke you with them little.
They just had a championship, right?
Stopping right there. Yeah, I'm stopping right there. Okay, it's my turn, right,
Lee,
William?
Yeah, pick a category.
I'm going to see what variety is.
All right, he's randomly picking a card out of that.
Who coined the term "the Iron Curtain" to describe the border between Eastern and Western Europe after World War II?
Too easy.
You
haven't answered yet?
I don't have an answer yet, but I'm going to say Churchill?
Correct.
But I don't think that's right.
Oh, Churchill, yay.
Awesome.
Lee's on the board with 1 point. She's currently leading. Okay.
History minor for the win.
I will take random as well. I'll take variety as well.
What TV series was set at William McKinley High School?
Oh, was that Saved by the Bell?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Boy Meets World?
The answer I was looking for is Glee.
I'm actually kind of proud I didn't answer that correctly.
I'm proud you didn't get that one.
I will say I watched Glee for the first season or so. But
I have to throw "well, actually" in there. That could be one of three. Series. It could be either The Wonder Years, Freaks and Geeks, or Glee.
All William McKinley? Oh, wow.
That is correct.
I don't make the questions. I just
read
them.
The cards.
I just correct you when you're wrong.
All right, Phil, your choice.
Well, actually.
I'll take variety.
You take variety.
That's
as well.
Where we get the water from. I'll take variety.
Okay. What hit song begins? "He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious?"
He was a boy. She was a girl.
Oh, I know this. I mean, I don't know this.
I'm surprised you know this.
Can I, get a lifeline or something?
Nope.
I can tell you the artist.
That will definitely not help him if he doesn't know that.
I know.
Tell me the artist.
Avril Lavigne.
Skater Boy.
Oh, darn.
Wait, spell Skater Boy.
No.
Is it SK8?
Yeah.
RBOY?
It's a trap.
Or BOI?
There's an E in there, but yeah.
Okay. All right, Kevin, your choice.
Oh. Avril Lavigne is like such a strange musician to me.
Nobody has shown any love to modern video games. I gotta do it.
Modern video games. Ugh.
Don't get it wrong.
Right?
Which rival to Phoenix Wright appeared in spin-off games from the Ace Attorney series in 2009 and 2011 for the Nintendo DS?
Go into your microphone and repeat that, please. All I heard is...
Which rival to Phoenix Wright appeared in spin-off games from the Ace Attorney series in 2009 and 2011 for the Nintendo DS?
I should. I should know the. Damn it! Is it Is it Apollo Justice?
No.
The correct answer is Miles Edgeworth.
Miles Edgeworth.
Yeah.
We must not have a voice actor or that developer coming that year. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's me, right? I'll do sports.
Was the Ace Attorney series popular?
It was popular in Japan. It was popular in Japan.
I would beg to differ. Japan, okay. In the visual novel fandom, it is considered.
Objection!
Oh, wait. In the visual novel fandom. So that's like saying amongst the Asian grinder MMO 16, 18 year old demographic.
Manga demographic that is only taking Japanese.
I feel attacked.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, William, we're going to work on that for you. All right.
Well, you're dealing with a 15 year old, so, you know.
I don't care. It's me. I said sports.
Sports.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Sports balls.
How many Olympic medals had American swimmer Michael Phelps won as of 2016?
Oh, as of crap. 2016, how many?
Well, since there wasn't an Olympics after 2016.
Yeah, right. That's the one.
Well, I think in case the card's laying around for another 20 years.
I want to say 17, but I think I'm wrong. But I'm gonna.
I'd like to steal.
Okay. Well, I know I should know it. What is it? Is it 11?
Wait, overall, 28.
It's 28.
28 total.
28 medal. Oh, I guess I was trying to think gold, but okay.
23 golds.
Right, 23 golds.
He's already right there.
Jeez Louise. Phelps, give other people a chance now, dude. All right.
Hell no, man.
While smoking weed, you know, whatever.
Keep winning.
Right. Can you imagine how... Well, he probably wouldn't have gone any faster if he wasn't smoking weed. Because he had to burn off, because he was burning a lot of calories.
Yeah, pain? So. He don't feel no pain.
it's me. I'll go with modern video games. There's no way I'm going to answer any of that. If that is a level of question we're asking, there's no way.
And insert obscure Asian video game here.
Okay, this is an American video game. So, what is the full name of Agent 47's handler in the Hitman series?
Oh, that would mean that I stopped to read all the and didn't skip past all the cutscenes.
Sorry, man, it was shooting to be done.
Yes. Well, a lot of the Hitman series for me is a lot of attempting to sneak around and then getting found out and then dying.
Yeah, that's the tagline of the game.
Mr. Big Sneaky.
Mr. Big Sneaky.
Incorrect.
So close.
It was Diana Burnwood.
Oh. But that's a woman's name.
Oh.
All right. Oh. I'll be
back away slowly now.
Going to my sensitivity training next.
Yes, yeah. John, not only is John going to sensitivity training, when he's walking with a limp, you now know why. Yeah.
Phil. We're back to Phil again.
Damn, brother. I don't believe I told that.
I'll take retro video games because I'm not going to be able to answer it, but I can at least be entertaining.
Okay, you got the easiest question. What are the nicknames for the four Pac-Man ghosts?
Oh,
oh God.
But you got to get all four, though.
Yeah. Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde, or Stu.
Pretty sure that's correct, yes.
Yes,
it's correct. Pretty sure it's correct. What does it say in the question? Oh, it does say Clyde, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah. All right, hey, there you go. Phil's now in the lead with 2 to Lee's 1.
Yay.
Kevin.
Go, Phil.
Okay, I'm going back to sports.
Sports.
It's obvious I don't know anything about video games.
Well, again, not these obscure ones that my son has picked out of this set.
I beg to differ, okay. Name the only U.S. baseball team to have been awarded Sports Illustrated's Sportsperson of the Year. Which seems like a logical conundrum, but okay.
Well, at one point we were all Time's Person of the Year, so you know, yeah, it all works out.
The team,
yes,
in the MLB team, right? It's a
MLB
team. Yeah, it said that.
Oh goodness, I am going to say, just because I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm going to say the Boston Red Sox.
That is correct.
Oh!
Yeah, because they had such an amazing season that season. So, yeah.
It's because they're awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Well, occasionally.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm a Rays fan, so.
No, it was like they hadn't won in like 10 decades, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was either them or the Cubs. I was waiting on, like, because the Cubs finally, you know.
All right, Lee.
Me. I will do, I guess, Variety.
Okay.
We're down to just one question after this one left in Variety.
Hallelujah.
Well.
What mascot was created in 1925 by the Minnesota Valley Canning Company to promote its vegetables?
I know that one.
Yep.
This is definitely that one for me.
Correct.
Ho, ho, ho.
Green Giant.
You can't say that anymore.
Why not?
Whore, whore, whore?
That you can.
Did we just have Lee say Green Giant?
I even did that part too.
Ho, ho, ho. Green midget. Giant.
All right. I'm going to close out the variety topic.
Thank God.
Okay. Welcome to Dead House was the first book published in what children's horror series?
Welcome to Dead House?
Yes.
Was published in what children's series? I'm going to say Goosebumps because that's the only one that I know. Oh, hey.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to go, what other children's horror series is there?
Irma Gerd, Gerstberms.
Goosebumps, that's all I could think of.
I'm drawing a blank on book series, but I can think of several children's TV shows on PBS or Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I mean, I could think of some scary stories. Coraline is one of them, by the way. But yeah, okay. Sorry, right, keep going.
Your choice.
We got to finish.
Yep.
Modern video games.
Modern video games.
See how obscure we could get with this one.
Yeah, I am realizing that. Anyway,
the audience might not have been correct. Go ahead.
Created by Lucas Pope, which 2013 video game is set at the border of the fictional country of Arstotzka?
Created by Lucas Pope, which 2013 video game is set at the border of the fictional country of Arskoskozaka?
Arstotzka.
He actually knows what it is. I have no idea what it is.
I did pick out questions about games that I liked.
Is this Uncharted?
Incorrect. It's the indie game Papers, Please.
Papers, Please?
Now, Kevin, did you know that one?
That one?
Yeah, I had that one.
Okay.
All I know with Lucas Pope from is Uncharted.
Yeah, he also did Uncharted.
Kevin, your choice.
Classic video game.
No, retro, not classic. Retro.
Okay,
retro. Classic is for us now. It runs into what the 2000s for those of us that are as old as we are.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
This is a long one. Do you want to take this?
Oh, okay, I'll take it. All right. Can I just give you the point now?
Go ahead.
All right. Just tell me when you already know the answer. Released for the Sega CD peripheral to the Mega Drive. In 1992, which full motion video game has the player protect Kelly Med, and others using traps and security cameras? Oh,
that's,
you have to know this one.
No, I really don't. It's Night Trap, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Also infamous for
that game was so horrible.
Attributing to the creation of ESRB, along with Mortal Kombat.
Oh, what?
I thought Mortal Kombat got the lion's share of the blood, but yeah.
It was also
Beta Plato running around in her underwear like did not help.
I don't know what the heck y'all are talking about. So I'm just
where they clearly have no idea what they're talking about.
Oh well, you're telling me that Congress has no idea what they're talking about.
No, what a surprise! All right,
that's right.
There's no variety left, right?
There's no variety in this world at all. All the variety is gone.
Yeah, I will take sports.
Sports!
The first air guitar championships were organized in the early 1980s in the U.S. and which other country?
U.S. air guitar. Oh, a U.S. and let's go Japan.
The correct answer is Sweden.
Sweden, oh. Of course. You know, they're big air guitar fans. They export gefilte fish and...
No, they don't. Not gefilte fish. No, not
Ingrid Malmsteen. Ingrid Malmsteen, was that you said?
Okay. All right. Bill's turn.
My turn. I'll close out sports.
Oh, damn it. Darn it.
In what Olympic sport do competitors cross the finishing line backwards?
In what competitive sport do the competitors finish the line backwards?
Yes.
Cross the line backwards? Cross the finish line backwards. The crab crawl.
Surprisingly rowing. Close. Rowing.
Oh. And Phil knew that one. Phil knew that one. Okay.
Yep.
So this is the last round. There's only five questions left. There are either two in retro and three in modern. Four. No, sorry. There's only four questions. Yeah. So it's two and two. Because there's only four of us. All right. Phil takes modern. Phil is currently tied for the lead with everybody but me.
The Overwatch character D.Va is a professional gamer and world number one in which other game made by Blizzard Entertainment?
Oh, God.
Oh, this is one I know those certainly ones. Would have known.
You only have, like, so many options.
I can't think of the name of the game.
Heroes of the Storm.
No,
it's Black Phone for the SNES.
Ouch. Yeah, she's from Heroes of the Storm, right? Yeah.
Are you selecting Heroes of the Storm?
Yeah.
I wouldn't select my choice because I'm inevitably wrong.
Is that your answer?
Hold on, let me think. Now you're making me. No. StarCraft, because she's Korean.
There you go.
Is that correct?
It was StarCraft 2. I don't know if I should allow that.
We will allow it.
She's okay. Korean.
Right. I'm sorry. It's like Heroes of the... Oh, yeah, StarCraft. Yeah, that's the most popular game in Korea.
It'd be weird if she was the number one gamer in a game that she was in.
Yeah.
She's number one in Overwatch, right?
Overwatch.
She's number one in Overwatch. Okay, so Kevin.
I shall go retro again.
What are the inputs for the Konami code?
It's up, up, down, down, left, right, select, start. Something like that.
You went too far.
Incorrect. It's up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start.
Oh.
Depends on your controller, not don't it.
Okay. That's fair enough, Kevin. That is true. Lee,
you realize the Konami code has been used on so many different platforms that, yeah,
you gotta yell at the thing. You gotta yell at the people that made the
card. The people that made the card. It's the moops.
Donald will send you things around later. The moops. Okay, me, I will go with retro games, which still means I have a chance.
Got the last modern game. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so. In the insult sword fighting section of the classic adventure game, The Secret of Monkey Island, what is the correct comeback to the infamous insult, you fight like a dairy farmer?
I squirt milk in your eye. I have no idea. So there you go. I squirt milk in your eye.
Wow, that's correct.
It's not far off, but it's not correct.
The correct answer is, how appropriate, you fight like a cow.
Okay. I was close.
All right, moderate.
I will give myself being close. Okay.
It looks like Phil won, by the way, but go on. Sure. We'll go ahead and do this last question.
Go on, John. Let's embarrass John one more time.
Released in 2017, which game was a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie and was developed by former Rare employees?
I can see it, but I can't pull the name. I don't know. Does anybody else know? I'm going with I have no idea. Anybody else know the answer? No?
Uh-uh.
All right. William, what is the answer?
Ukulele.
Ukulele?
Yeah.
Oh, ukulele. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
That is all right, so
yeah. William picked exactly the hardest questions, but the final score is...
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Phil.
Okay.
Phil won with 3. Kevin
Yay.
And Lee tied with 2. I came in last place with just 1. All right.
I will take that.
Well, thank you for joining us, even if, we were all totally embarrassed by the 15-year-old kid who picked all the questions for us that
really
none of us old
weird
folks
questions.
Know.
Yeah, really weird
grinder trivia.
Okay, I stand by that Ace Attorney is a mainstream franchise.
Good try, William. Good try.
It is not.
It is not.
Yeah.
But good try.
There were for a handheld stat franchise. It was
wrong.
Yeah, get off of our lawn, kid. All right.
Now Kevin has a new panel idea, 15-year-olds versus the old guys.
Ooh.
That would actually be hysterically funny.
That would be hysterically funny. It would be,
I got a trivia question for the 15-year-old. Just turnabout is fair play.
Okay.
Across all platforms, what is the best-selling video game of all time, and how many copies did it sell?
You're welcome, Kevin.
Well, the quote-unquote right answer is Tetris, but that's cheating because there are so many different versions of Tetris that it counts all of them.
Yes, and?
Yes.
It's something like 26 million, I think. I don't know. Oh, no, that's really low.
You're off by a few zeros.
Yeah,
oh
okay,
my
that's
God.
My thought.
2.6 billion?
Tetris? Yep.
Wow, okay, very cool. All right, I'm sorry,
I didn't know that. Yeah. I would never. Right. My mind would have never gone to Tetris. Probably because it's just trying to get away from Tetris.
I would have said Mario. Yeah.
All right. So, Kevin, where can folks find more information about your track? And again, remind everyone where you're located.
Well, you can find it. We have a Facebook group, and you can find us on videogaming.dragon.org. And you can find our physical location on the 7th floor of the Westin in the Augusta Ballroom.
As far as we know right now.
As of today.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Phil isn't moving, but where can people find you on the web and on the physical location at DragonCon?
We have a social media presence at facebook.com/DCBoardGames. We are located on the second floor of the Westin in America. I'm sorry, second floor of America's Mart across from the Westin.
All right. Cool.
Good.
And... Awesome. And as always, be sure to check them out. The links to their various sites is going to be on the post for this podcast. And you can find that over at theuniquegeek.com. And you can always email us at 50days@theuniquegeek.com or call us at 813-3210-TUG. That's 813-3210-884. So until next time, for William... Phil, Kevin, and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Have a short week.
Objection.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.